My name is Saad Usmani. I'm the Chief of Plasma Cell Disorders at the Levine Cancer Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I'm here at the ASCO Annual Meeting 2018 in Chicago. I'm presenting an abstract on the KEYNOTE-185 trial, which compared pembrolizumab, lenalidomide dexamethasone versus lenalidomide dexamethasone given to newly diagnosed transplant-ineligible multiple myeloma patients. As most of us know, that both the KEYNOTE-185 study as well as KEYNOTE-183 study in the relapsed refractory setting with the pembrolizumab pomalidomide combination were held by the FDA last year because of concerns about higher rates of higher numbers of deaths on the study, as well as immune-related adverse events on the pembrolizumab arms. So this is the final analysis on the 301 patients that were accrued to the pembro lendex versus pembro RD study. The study was stopped less than halfway through the accrual. There appeared to be a higher number of high-risk patients, 16% versus 7% on the pembrolizumab arm. There were a higher percentage of patients who were older than the age of 75 on the pembro arm as well. And one would expect, you know, these numbers to even out by the time the study is finishing complete accrual, but the study was halted early. There was no difference found in terms of overall response rates or the median PFS or the overall survival at that point in time. In terms of the immune-related adverse events, the most common ones were hypothyroidism, hyperthyroidism. There were also some, increased infections and pneumonitis observed. I think the overarching message from this experience is that there was no efficacy observed in this group of patients, with the caveat that the study was less than half accrued and therapy was stopped before optimal exposure to drug could have taken place. I'm going to be talking about two specific abstracts, one being presented by my colleague Dr. Ajay Chari on the phase 1b experience with subcutaneous daratumumab. I had originally presented these data at ASH in 2016 on two cohorts of patients where the infusion, subcutaneous infusion, varied between 20 to 30 minutes. The data that Ajay Chari is presenting is on the new formulation, which can be, you know, which is only 15 mLs of volume, can be given in 3 to 5 minutes subcutaneously. The cohort of 25 patients that Ajay is reporting on had a median of 3 prior lines of treatment, and the overall response rate that was reported at ASH of 2017 was around 44%. With subsequent follow-up of a little over 8 months, the response rate has deepened in patients. It's about 52%. And it appears, you know, the PK/PD data appears to be similar to IV daratumumab. And this leads into the second study, which is actually a trials in progress being reported at ASCO, which is called the Columba trial. It is comparing the IV daratumumab to subcutaneous daratumumab in a large randomized phase 3 study. At the time that the abstract was submitted, the study was still accruing. The study will finish accruing roughly 480 patients by the end of July, and we're hoping that we'll have a readout, in another year and a half. And we're hoping that we can bring this easier, more convenient option for patients, through an FDA approval. I'm going to be sharing some details about an abstract being presented by my colleague, Dr. Joseph McHale, in a study that I participated in. It's a phase 1b study combining isatuximab, which is an anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody, combined with pomalidomide and dexamethasone. We're reporting on 45 patients with median of 3 prior lines of treatment who received isatuximab initially in the dose escalation cohort and then in a dose expansion cohort of 10 milligrams per kilogram dosing. The overall response rate was over 60% in this patient population. Over 80% of the patients were actually refractory to a previous line of treatment, and majority of these patients were IMiD and PI refractory. The most common side effects that were observed were fatigue, neutropenia, Infusion-related reactions were observed in about 42% of the patients, but were mostly grade 1 and 2 and well managed. Overall, the main message is that this monoclonal antibody combination is quite potent. There is a large randomized phase 3 trial that has finished accrual comparing isatuximab pomalidomide dexamethasone with pomalidomide dexamethasone, and we should be, you know, learning about those results hopefully by late 2019 or early 2020. I'm going to be commenting and highlighting an abstract that was presented by my colleague, Dr. Paul Richardson, on the Optimism trial, which compared pomalidomide, bortezomib dexamethasone to bortezomib dexamethasone in patients who received 1 to 3 prior lines of treatment. A total of 559 patients were randomized to this phase 3 study, and the primary endpoint was progression-free survival. This is a very important abstract because it addresses our need for options for lenalidomide refractory patients. 100% of the patients enrolled on the study were lenalidomide exposed. About 70% on both arms were lenalidomide refractory. So this is very relevant to practice in the U.S. What was observed was a median PFS of about 11 months versus 7 months in favor of pomalidomide, bortezomib, dexamethasone for the overall population. Specifically for patients who were in the first prior line of treatment, the median PFS was a little more than 20 months compared to 11 months. In terms of overall response rates, again, the higher overall response rate with pomalidomide, Velcade, dexamethasone were observed a little north of 70%. And, you know, this there was durability of responses for this early line of treatment, especially, you know, first relapse patient population. So the bottom line in terms of safety profile, no new safety signals were observed. Most of the side effects we would anticipate for pomalidomide or bortezomib were seen and managed with adequate dose adjustments. This hopefully will add a new option for us, especially for the U.S. myeloma patient population, where most patients are on len maintenance, and when they're relapsing, they're len refractory, and we're struggling on how to, pick treatments. This would be a very reasonable option for those patients.